Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.
Mario Moroni and Francesco Barbesino asked me to present their paper entitled...
Sorry, not quite ready there yet. Now you can go.
Yeah?
You're ready.
Okay. Entitled Neutron Radiation Effect on Linear Fibers and Consequences for a Radiocarbon Dating. Introduction. The results of the analysis performed on the linen sample of the Turing Shroud published in 1988 have raised many doubts about the contradicted results previously obtained in a variety of different disciplines. Many hypotheses have been formulated to explain the presence of I-14C content which produced the medieval dating. Initial consideration. Every linen fiber is composed of a certain number of poor cellulose fiber associated with complementary substances like hemicellulose, lignin, pectin, and so on, that perform interfiber lamella and cementing textiles. It is also probable that their distribution along the axis of the fiber is not homogeneous. Also, it is impossible to ascribe to the cellulose change of the 14C increase corresponding to 1,000 years and more. This could be possible with the complementary substances. Initial considerations. It is known that the possibility of interaction between fabric and external agents also depends on the degree of order of cellulose chains closely packed each other by means of hydrogen bridges. In areas where such a compactness decreases, indicated as semicrystalline areas, the action of external agents become more effective. In the past, the author examined the X-ray diffraction spectra of with the degree X-ray. Excuse me. In the past, the author examined with X-ray diffraction spectra the degree of order of three substantially coeval antique linens. Since the results were significantly different among them, the degradation had to depend on the historical events happening to each of them. Hypothesis. The author formulated and took into consideration two hypotheses. A. An increase of 14C caused the fire of Chambéry occurring in 1532. An increase of 14C produced a neutron in irradiation. Method. In order to obtain comparable results, the author have chosen a single laboratory, the Isotrace Radiocarbon Laboratory of the University of Toronto in Canada, equipped with an accelerator mass spectrometers. To carry out the tests with the same old linen, the Lima mummy linen coming from the Museum of Tisse of Lyon. And these are the results obtained. A sample analysis of Lima mummy has received, it means that it was not subjected to a further neutron radiation. And we see that the apparent age is about similar. These are the results obtained by Rinaudot, and these are the results obtained by Barbesino and Moroni. There is only about 80 years difference depending on the level. Hypothesis A, simulation of Chambéry fire. The simulation was done by Barbesino and Moroni, subjecting the sample of the Lima mummy to 200 degrees C for a time of about 90 minutes in CO mixed to CO2. And here we see, the resulting data that it is different from this, but as it is commented here, as the fire affects the date of few centuries, it does not seem possible to attribute the heating to the large increase in the 14C content found on the sample from the shroud. So, they followed hypothesis B, that supposed neutral irradiation of the samples. The flux of neutrons was chosen in order to have an equal percentage of proton radiation capable to color the image as it is on the shroud. The results are here indicated, and we see quite different, a large difference among each other, about 1,000 years. The example, the first sample, this one, was directly dated. The other were dated after thermal treatments simulating the so-called samplifier. At first, the authors arrived at the conclusion that each treatment carried out on the sample was able to produce a significant increase in the 14C content. Effect of increasing intensity cleaning procedure on neutron irradiator samples. A very strong pretreatment, 10% yield, causes a variation of more than 2,000 years and gives a result very near to the supposed age of the samples. Here we see, this is very important as a result, because we see that the apparent age that results is highly dependent on the percentage yield. This means that if we date directly a sample, we obtain a date like this. But if we chemically attack the sample and only the 10% yields, the date is very different. This leads us to suppose that a neutron contamination principally acts on the external part of the thread and the fibers. And the nucleus, the cellulosic nucleus of the fiber, can be quite uncontaminated. And this is one thing to consider if we want to repeat radiocarbon dating, because also for Moroni, it will be very interesting to date the samples not one time but many times. So it is to chemical attack the samples, obtaining let's say 50% yielding, chemically recovering the 14C in the acid, and date that sample. Then make a second datation of the inner sample remaining in the after the chemical attack. If we follow a procedure like this, we can compare the possible degree of contamination of the external part of the shroud fiber with their internal part. Confirmation of the results, data obtained by Vinodo et Lyon. Analysis of neutron irradiated samples, this was the rate of radiation, and it was confirmed that the same samples obtained this data. Also in this case, a variation greater than 1,000 years was detected, varying the yielding of the sample from 56% to 8%. Here we see the yielding of 7.8, very different for the there is a 1,000 year different. Addendum, we had from mail exchange with Dolph Ruf Bakens about the 14C enrichment mechanism due to the neutron radiation. 14C yielding is due from the N14 present as a residual in the lignin proteins. 14C derives from a transformation of atmospheric nitrogen This one can be posed on the fabric surface, or can be absorbed, or can be incorporated in the superficial fibers due to nuclear bouncing during the reaction. Conclusion: the most evident result is the increase of the 14C content after neutron irradiation and the possibility, even with the most severe pretreatment, to reach the historic age of non-irradiated sample. It is evident that the 14C content increases with the decrease of the neutron flux. A soft pretreatment, 100% yield, gives unreliable results in a neutron irradiated sample, but very strong pretreatment, 10% yield, allows to reach a quite reliable dating of the sample. Therefore, if an irradiation had happened, the result would explain the anomalous data obtained in the analysis of the shroud made in 1988. Now, as the presentation is quite short, I take the occasion to make some comments to the work done at Padua University about the posters. This is the status of some new studies in the shroud performed by students at Padua University. These are some names of the many students that I have and I had that worked in these projects. The first point to analyze is the blood stain classification using RGB values. And this is a work done by these four students that is shown in the first poster. The concept is this. If it is to answer to the following question: is it possible from the available photograph made by Jean Durant and so on to obtain some information about the characteristic of the blood stain? This question is quite interesting because, as I discussed a few months ago, there are other hypotheses, like those, for example, that state that the blood stains are not of blood, but have a color like the image, body image. And therefore, we have searched objective data coming from computer analysis. The work done consisted in detecting some visible possible blood stain. This is an enlargement, and to render better reliable the analysis, the study was done only on the dark lines of the fabric, because the blood did not touch the part between one line and the other. From the selection of this area, obviously by a computer, it was calculated the histogram, means and root mean square of the corresponding values, and the following results were being obtained. With these results, compatibility and depth have been drawn. Zone compatible are highlighted with the same colors. The data were summarized in a plot in which the R over B, red over blue and the red over green values. This is a method to normalize the more clear data, are plotted to show where they are in the various areas. And what it is interesting is that with this method it is possible to characterize a single stain and to make some supposition on the on how it developed from the other. The poster subdivided in two parts. The first part is objective and represent only the mathematical results. The second part consists in an interpretation of these points to try to understand the cause of these blood stains. This is a very bad photo, I don't know how it is so. Perhaps the computer is not able to read it. In any case, it is shown in the first poster, and this figure summarizes that all the supposed blood stains are comprised in a particular zone different from the image area and the other blood stain, and other stains that are not blood. It is interesting also to see the effect of the blood in the image and outside the image. And by means of this method, it is possible also to evaluate the influence that had the hypothetical radiation on the blood, that probably colored in a different way the color that is in the image and can be selected from that it is out the image. With the method, dynamic formation hypothesis have been conducted. In the end zone, for example, the blood came out from the nail, light blue, this one, flowed along the radar and formed a serum stain that is perhaps the best area in which it is visible, the serum alloy, also in visible light. A second field of research regards the banding effect reduction using FFT and wavelets. This is a very difficult study. I also discussed with Ray Schneider a lot about this, and we arrived for the moment to the conclusion that it is not so clear how to clear the image, because there are many bands, horizontal and vertical, that are quite difficult to eliminate. Or better, it is possible to eliminate some band, but if we eliminate some band, we have some loss of signal and the image results quite deteriorated. In addition, it must be considered that the bands are not equispaced. In other terms, they are not periodic. So the FFT analysis cannot be directly used if you want to obtain some interesting result. This first result was published in the paper about the double superficiality some years ago, and other techniques were applied. Now, some students followed another quite interesting way to use wavelets. As the TS bands are not equally spaced, a cleaning based on wavelet transform was used, even if not easy to control. F. Pontini and Ranier with Traverso used this technique, made the grid thesis, and Marta Lazzarin, who presents her poster, entitled Two-Dimensional Wavelet Transform for the Shroud Bending Reduction, has obtained quite interesting results, even if not definitive. This last work regards the determination of the frequencies relative to the vertical, horizontal, and diagonal line crossing the shroud image by means of the continuous wavelet spectrum. This is a part of the analysis that was done. The Mallat pyramidal algorithm was used to decompose and denoise the image of the entire shroud. How he acted? Allora, he selected some preferential lines out of the image. These are the gray values of some lines. and he made two-dimensional wavelet transform. This is the result, and he detected the vertical bands in this way. After the elimination of the peaks in the wavelet plot, blue and violet are the parts more evident, corresponding to a periodicity, a local periodicity corresponding to a peak. The filtered image of the Kunishlau face was obtained and represented on the following side. On the left, the wavelet results. On the right, the further FFT processing was applied to reduce the diagonal bands produced by the processing. As you can see, many bands have been deleted, but are also deleted some part of the face, of the signal relative to the face. In particular, as the Mallat algorithm works in the vertical and horizontal direction, these diagonal lines still remains. For this reason, it was applied, as these lines are quite equispaced, was employed FFT transform in order to obtain this more blurred face. But the results are not yet fully satisfactory because of a lot of information relative to the body image. The problem still remains. The complete text in the digital form is available on request. Third point is that enveloping configuration on Turing Shroud starting from the luminance value of the body image. This is a problem that tried to answer the following question. How was enveloped the Turing Shroud man? Are the body image luminance level coherent with a particular shape of a Turing Shroud? Are there dark luminance areas of face in the body image? Something was shown yesterday, but it is not definitive, and still some other work is necessary. In any case, I have seen very few representations of the shroud enveloping in a quite reliable way the Turing Shroud man. In particular, there is a big anomaly in this region, and if we follow a law that correlates the luminance level to the distance body sheet, there is a discontinuity here that led us to suppose that something in particular happened during the image formation. The study made by these two students confirms this, even if it is not in a definitive form, but it showed that in correspondence of fit of the frontal image, there is quite a big distance, let's say 2-3 centimeters, that are not explainable with a normal enveloping. This and other question can be answered starting from the work of Luca Favro, who constructed a numerical mannequin, the work of Mungai, who began to study this problem, and Poster with Kerrigan and Sabinot, who displayed the most probable configuration of Turing Shroud around the human body. This is the status that I have presented. It is here summarized. Bloch-Stein classification using RGB values, bending effect reduction used FFT and wavelets, envelope configuration of Turing Shroud starting from the luminance values of the body image. The research proceeds, but still too much are the unsolved problems, and please note, too few are the researchers. So it is important to have a new researcher to study this problem. Thank you very much for the attention.
Explore the mystery at shrouduniversity.com.